So we are reading what verse 5 today. Jaya Radha Ma, Puja Bihari. Jaya Radha Ma, Gata, Puja Bihari. Gopi Chanatalaka Girihar Jari Gopi Chanatalaka Girihar Jari Yashoda Nandana Pratapanna Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Pratapanna Ranjana Ramana Kira Dhanachari Ramana Kira Dhanachari Jaya Ragana Gaga Kunjari Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjari Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Krishna Pad Paramahansa Parivraja Jagacharya Stotara Sata Shri Srimadhi Sibhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Nanta Kota Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Shri Gahol Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Mad Bhagavatam Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading Canto 10, Chapter 4, Text 5. Bahavo Hinsita Bratha. Shishava Pavako Pama. Vaya Daiva Nushtrishtena. Putrikaika Padiyatam. Bahavo Hinsita Brata. Shishava Pavako Pama. Vaya Daiva Nushtrishtena. Putrikaika Pradiyatam. Bahavo Hinsita Brata. Shishava Pavako Pama. Tvaya Daiva Nushtrishtena. Putrikaika Pradiyatam. Please chant. Bahava, many. Hinsitaha, killed out of envy. Brataha, my dear brother. Shishavaha, small children. Pavaka upamaha, all of them equal to fire in brightness and beauty. Vaya, by you, Daiva Nishrishtena, as spoken by destiny. Putrika, daughter, Eka, one, Pradiyatam, give me as your gift. Translation. My dear brother, by the influence of destiny, you have already killed many babies, each of them as bright and beautiful as fire. But kindly spare this daughter. Give her to me as your gift. Do we repeat? So please repeat. My dear brother, by the influence of destiny, you have already killed many babies. Each of them was bright and beautiful as fire. But kindly spare this daughter. Give her to me as a gift. Poor part. Here we see that Devaki, first focus comes his attention on his atrocious activities, his killing of her many sons. Then she wanted to compromise with him by saying that whatever he had done was not his fault, but was ordained by destiny. Then she appealed to him to give her the daughter as a gift. Devaki was the daughter of a Kshatriya and knew how to play the political game. In politics, there are different methods of achieving success. First, repression, dana, then compromise, sama, and then asking for a gift, dana. Devaki first adopted the policy of repression, but directly attacking Kamsa for having cruelly, atrociously killed her babies. Then she compromised by saying that this was not his fault, and then she begged for a gift. As we learn from the history of the Mahabharata, or Greater India, the wives and daughters of the ruling class, the Kshatriyas, knew the political game, but were never fine that a woman was given the post of chief executive. This is in accordance with the injunctions of Mana Samhita, but unfortunately Mana Samhita is now being insulted, and the Aryans, the members of Vedic society, cannot do anything. Such is the nature of Kali Yuga. Nothing happens unless ordained by destiny. Tashaiva hito prayateta kovido nalabhyate yam brahmatam upadi adha tal labhyate dukkhavat anyata sukham kalena sarvatra gabhira rahasa. Bhagavatam 1.5.18. Devaki knew very well that because the killing of her many children had been ordained by destiny, Kamsa was not to be blamed. There was no need to give good instructions to Kamsa. Upadesho hi murkhanam prakopaya nasanta ye. Chanakya Pandit. If a foolish person is given good instructions, he becomes more and more angry. Moreover, a cruel person is more dangerous than a snake. A snake is a cruel and a cruel person are both cruel, but a cruel person is more dangerous because although a snake can be charmed by mantras or subdued by herbs, a cruel person cannot be subdued by any means. Such was the nature of Kamsa. Om Ajnanati Midandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miritam Jaina Tajmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this purport, Srila Prabhupada points out the expertise of Devaki. She is a daughter of a Kshatriya. She knew how to persuade the other party to get what she wanted, to try to save the baby. Because of Devaki's nature as a very kind and very pure devotee of the Lord, she had as a nature to help others, to save this baby was her first priority. So she was trying to negotiate with Kamsa by using the strategy that she learned by growing up in a Kshatriya family. Those three points that Srila Prabhupada mentioned, The first the repression, then the compromise, and then asking for a gift. In the Sanskrit, she says, himsitaha, killed out of envy. So envy is the atrocious quality in this world that kills every goodness. So envy was the first thing that she said to Kamsa. So that was the repression. She said, by envy you kill those beautiful babies. So she was presenting to him the picture that what he had done. So that was the repression. And then she said, but this was all ordained by destiny. So taking the pressure out of him. So that was the compromise. So the psychology of trying to build a rapport with the enemy, so you can get what you want, to gain some sympathy. So she did repression, and then she did the compromise by saying that, it was destiny. Can't do anything. But, if you give me this baby, everything will be okay. Then we're all peaceful again. You're forgiven, destiny took care of that. It's not your fault. And to get a gift from him. But it was his nature to just aim for sense gratification. He wasn't thinking about anybody else's welfare. He was thinking about his own sense gratification, his own life. He was meditating in Krishna 24/7. There was a verse before here saying that when he heard the news, he came with his hair, the shoveled hair. So he just ran. He was, probably not sleeping for many days in that state of complete anxiety. But his meditation is of no use because it's not to serve the Lord. Because devotional service is it has to turn the heart. And Srila Prabhupada also mentioned here that the history of in India, the Mahabharata and the Mana Samhita was a very was the law book for humans. And so in this Mana Samhita, although women are as competent of ruling, but they do not go on the post because of the psychology of men and women. The men like to be in charge, men like to protect, and women are happy just working, in the background, just supporting all that's happening. It's a simple thing. Women doesn't need that to have their ego boosted because of their nature. So that's why, women are a lot more easy to come to religious temples and churches, and women are usually there because they don't have that ego to battle with. So it's a blessing. It can be a... So there, this is a material world. There's the positive and the negative of everything. And it's a beautiful thing. We have this example of Jamuna Devi that now she, she passed away and she left. Now all her sayings are coming out. So the thing is, such wisdom that she had. And, but because she wasn't in a position of leadership, it's all, you have to go and dig for it. It wasn't like, like Tamal Krishna or Ridayananda, those big shots that from that time that, everybody knows, and it's all their sayings, and but there's so much wisdom. And this warmth and the kindness to treat others without envy. And I think that Jamuna, she embodied that, that non-envy attitude. It comes out with everything, that everybody that she related to. They all felt loved, they all felt supported, they all felt acknowledged. And this is a quality of women, to be able to, that magnanimity of a kindness, of embracing, you know, people and supporting them. And it's a very necessary quality for a healthy society. So there's a place for everybody. And this the point of envy is that for not to have envy, you need to stop sense gratification. It's the only way to combat the tendency of being envious. So how do we do that? We do that by chanting. And Srila Jiva Goswami said that to counteract the tendency for acting sinfully, we do deity worship. It's because it engages the senses, the mind, and in the right way. So to combat this envy, it's a must for us to be able to progress in spiritual life. In this verse that Srila Prabhupada said here from the Bhagavatam, I read the verse, but I didn't write it down. Well, but you know, this continuing this, the cruelty of Kamsa's acts. We see nowadays a lot of Kamsas around our society here. Not our inner society, but the outer society, where the country where we live. And there was just in the news, I have a lot of relatives at home. And so people are talking about the news, and you know, they're not devotees, and they talk about things that are happening in the world. And there was this one fella, there was a neighbor, the woman had three kids, and she asked if she had to do surgery, so she was recovering. And so she asked him if he could help. She had to go to a doctor appointment, something like simple. So you go ask your neighbor for some help. That's, you know, everybody does that. So the fella goes into her house and not only killed her little girl, he dismembered her and put her in his fridge. It's like, you know, you go to help somebody. So that's like, you know, it's a typical Kamsa attitude. You know, just no mercy. It's all for sense gratification. The guy, the mental state of somebody to be able to do such a thing. He does it for pleasure. It's like a crazy lust for some excitement. So so the senses are really enemies. If they are uncontrolled, they can drive people to act horrendously. So this cruelty has to be stopped, and the only way to stop this material way of life that is lust and greed and all those bad qualities is for us to start chanting. We have to chant. The holy name has all the potency. And we have to chant. And bhakti is independent. So that's the beauty of it. Bhakti is so kind that no matter what situation you are in the material world, if you're a man, if you're a woman, if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're beautiful, if you're ugly, it doesn't matter. It has no condition. There's no condition for bhakti. Bhakti gives mercy to anybody that seeks that mercy. And it's a blessing, because without that, there was no chance for us to be able to practice Krishna consciousness. Because we all have so many difficulties, you know, our prarabdha karma is there. We have things we have to go through in life. So there are difficulties. We have problems coming from family, children, friends, work, society. There's health, your own body can give you so much trouble. So all these are prarabdha karma, you just can't get away from it. But the consciousness that we approach this, the consciousness that we, when these things are happening, like of when a child is that you raise with so much love, and that child is doing something that totally against what you believe. So how do you deal with that? So you have to have that, I have to have, the vision that, you know, Krishna is controlling everything. Krishna has a plan. So when you put the Krishna glasses on, and then you see that every person is independent, we all have our own karma to go through, our own, you know, cleanliness, that we have to clean our hearts. And if that situation presents itself, so you have to look for what can I learn from this? What is the best way to maintain my Krishna consciousness while I, you know, live this situation? And that's where bhakti comes in. It's just independent. So no matter what you're going through, you can be happy in Krishna consciousness. So your thermometer is that, you know, okay, you know, am I happy today? You know, just keep that. How happy am I today? So that's your thermometer for Krishna consciousness. Because as soon as you're, you know, down, or if you're too high up and enjoying the good karma that you have, as soon as you go into the ups and downs, it's like, so you're attached to the results of this material world. So just living with that consciousness of you know, accepting whatever comes, that because Krishna is the one that's giving to you. And that's also where envy comes in, because envy is like a person has the right. Krishna gave that person those gifts. But I think, no, I don't accept that person to have that. I want it. So that's like, you know, Granthi is like, you don't want to accept what Krishna has given to that person. And it leads to cruel thinking. And that cruel thinking, we have to work towards getting better. And we do that by, you know, worshiping the deities, serving the devotees, giving out prasadam, and being happy when a devotee is happy. You know, you be happy for him as for her. It's a very materialistic thinking that when somebody has something nice, and that, oh, you know, you just, ah. And then when a person has something, is going through something bad, you're kind of happy. So that's the materialistic way of living life. We don't want that. We want to practice, consciously practice, being grateful and being happy for the person who has some good results, and being really feeling heartfelt sorry for a person who's hurting. And this practicing being a Vaishnava is the most wonderful thing that we can do, because It takes all the weight out of our hearts, our minds. So our minds become so much easier to live in the body when the body, you know, you can make the mind act like a Vaishnava. Because you know, if you're not a Vaishnava, it's hellish. It's totally hellish being a material body. And you know, Srila Prabhupada very, very kindly brought this to us. And through his disciples, through his, you know, close disciples like Jamuna, you know, that people that imbibe that quality of kindness and mercifulness, so we know, we can see that it's possible to get to by practicing bhakti, to purify our minds, to purify our hearts. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned here that a snake and a cruel person are both cruel, but the snake can be charmed. In a cruel person, there's nothing. Just like this one fella, you know, there was nothing that anybody could have done because, you know, as a human being, there's no way to charm him, to persuade him otherwise, because sense gratification is in the forefront. So until sense gratification is subdued and changed, consciously engaging the senses to serve the Lord, until then, the battle between evil and goes on. We have to win this battle between evil and within our hearts. We need to really practice being engaged in service. You know, nowadays the politicians in the world, they are taking advantage of the people. They are taxing the people so much. They're instead of protecting the citizens and with the money that they collect, you know, to do some good for the people, they're just pocketing the money. But why? For sense gratification. Because they're uncontrolled, their senses are uncontrolled, their qualities, there are no qualities there. So that's how important it is for our movement to be out there, to be like, you know, going on Harinam, going on book distribution, spreading this seed of bhakti everywhere. Because how else people are going to get purified? So this Lord Chaitanya's movement is very kind to everyone because it gives that seed. But once you plant a seed, you need to water it. So by watering is our chanting. And not only the politicians are corrupted, but the Vaishyas, the agricultural people, they have those GMO seeds now. You know, seeds that they have in them insecticides that kill bugs, right? But the pollen of those plants, they spread to other crops. So now organic crops are being contaminated by those GMO seeds. And pretty soon, they are kind of a sterile, but they're not really sterile. They're just like 95% sterile, so the 5% will produce. And that can just simply exterminate nature. Now imagine, that's a Kali Yuga thing. It's like contaminating nature, the earth, because the those insecticide plants, so the trunk is toxic, the leaves are toxic, the pollen is toxic, the seeds are toxic, and the roots are toxic too, so they contaminate the water supply, the earth. So, you know, pretty soon, they have forests of it. And those big companies, they invest a lot of money planting a lot of those. So, you know, even Hawaii, like beautiful Hawaii, have the organic farmers are going nuts because their crops are contaminated. And not only that, because they lose the status of organic, and so, and then business is down, so they can't sell their stuff. So in India, this is a big problem. Big problem. All over the world, it's happening now. So Vaishyas, you know, the ones that supply our food, they are also corrupted and contaminated. I'm sorry to say that I watched this video on how the dairy industry is in India. It's heart-wrenching. It's, you can't imagine how in India they treat the cows and the calves. And if we think it's bad here, you have no idea what they go through over there. It's so inhumane, it's so degraded. So this is also part of our, you know, this society. So the only way is to raise consciousness. What else are we going to do? So as soldiers of Lord Chaitanya's movement, we need to get out there and get everybody, give everybody the seed of bhakti, because without that, there's no way to purify the heart and to lead a better path in life. Well, and here, so we saw today in this verse that how Kamsa killed out of envy, and how Devaki was very, very graciously intelligent. So I'm going to read the translation again. My dear brother, by the influence of destiny, you have already killed many babies, each of them as bright and beautiful as fire. But kindly spare this daughter. Give her to me as your gift. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So earlier you were, I think within the purport there's something about Imanu Samhita also.
Mm-hmm.
Srila Prabhupada explained. You see, most of what we're doing to some degree are all the laws coming from Vedic culture is actually coming from the Manu Samhita. You see, in ancient time, all the laws. And so so some may seem a little harsh, especially with like, Mataji, but I think within our society, you know, women are given a voice to some degree. Maybe not as exhilarating as the sannyasis and so, but I think it's there. But it's a good point to note also that that, you know, if some are feel suppressed, then they should come out and express, you know, mm-hmm. express their voice. I mean, there's a proper forum for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. The point you made about cruelty, it stated that killing enhance cruelty, you know, like the this religious principle of mercifulness.
Mm-hmm.
See, and so definitely there is a great need for that. Most of the religions, they follow the other principles like no intoxicant, no gambling and so forth. But this one of mercifulness is absent in Christianity, in Islam. I think it's within Buddhism, but you know, and somewhat in Hinduism too in some form. So definitely it needs to be propagated seriously.
And what you said, that first, that, you know, our society has come a long way. There was a time in our society that women were very much shut down. The women were forbidden to give classes for many years. So we're glad that, you know, they got over it. It's all an ego thing. But, you know, we all need a purification. And luckily, we're all chanting Hare Krishna so that, you know, the end result will always be a good one because, you know, of the path. And your second point was about cruelty?
Yeah, cruelty, you know, how it's prominent in the war.
Yeah.
Sometimes people look very nice and beautiful and kind, you know, but you're...
Oh, the religions.
Slaughtering the cow and you're, you know, I mean...
But you know that the Dalai Lama is not a vegetarian. And he's... I know. It's like, what? He's not a vegetarian. Yeah, and some people have... I forget who it was. It's a famous person has approached him about... and confronted him about that. And he said it just he doesn't have any problems eating meat. He needs it for his health. Yes. So, but you know, Lord Buddha, that does not take away, you know, the great work that Lord Buddha did, but it was a good thing because at that time, Lord Buddha came, you know, people needed to get away from animal slaughter. It was all about mercy. So he came and said, okay, no more killing. That's peace. And so he took people away from the Vedas. And then Sri Shankaracharya came. And Lord Chaitanya even calls Shankaracharya Acharya, like she's Shankar. Because, you know, his Lord Shiva himself, and he came to bring people back to the Vedas, to stop the voidism from the nihilistic voidism from the Buddhism and introduce just impersonalism. Everything is okay. You just be peaceful and merge. So it was like an easy comeback to the Vedas. There's good in everything. And, you know, because Lord Chaitanya also, you know, he glorified, he called him an acharya, Shankaracharya. So we accept that too. Not that we accept impersonalism. We accept the value of that place and time of that actions had to be taken towards a goal. And the goal is Lord Chaitanya's movement to purify everyone. Anybody else? Yes, Prabhu? Mother Ekadasi Devi Dasi.
Thank you for the class. I appreciate your points. It was very nice. I just wanted to make a comment about envy. And one thing that I've learned is that if I'm feeling envious towards a person, that it's good to do some kind of service for them, and that helps to get rid of that feeling.
Jai, yeah. There was a teaching that early in when you first joined the movement, we learned the rules of how to walk around devotees, how to behave, and that's one of them. Very nice, thank you. Okay. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Haribol.